let's go inside Beaver Dam High School athletics and activities right now as we bring in Ryan Gerber from Beaver Dam High School. Coach Gerber, it's been a long time since we chatted. There's just been things going on all over the place, and here we are again, finally.
Yeah, it's been a little bit yet, but hopefully we can shake off the rust here and get back going. I mean, you had your nice vacation out of Punta Cana, and we've been trudging away here, so let's go.
Hey, I was actually working in Punta Cana, just so you know. We did the morning show 2 days there, so it was hard, I know, doing it from the balcony, looking over the sunshine of the Caribbean, but it was still working, so don't call it a vacation.
My apologies. You're the hardest working man in show business.
Well, you know what? You, on the other hand, have had to work twice as hard, three, four, five times as hard when we talk about the athletic side, simply because spring sports has been, Mother Nature's really flexed her muscles this year, hasn't she?
Yeah, all the precipitation we didn't get this winter, we're getting now in the spring. But, you know, again, I remind people it's Wisconsin. We should be used to this. We'd like it to be a little drier out, and we've had some really nice days, and we've been able to take advantage of that. But unfortunately, you have days like Tuesday where we're postponing and rescheduling.
Yeah, and it's hard when you get into May now because, you know, tournaments are not that far away, and obviously conference games you have to get in, so you have to find a way to get some of these activities in, don't you?
Yeah, so we've been really fortunate here in Beaver Dam that we've been able to get some games in and not had to cancel games. But just talking to some of my peers in the area and around southern Wisconsin, they're in the situation now where they're canceling non-conference games so they can get some of those reschedules in. And ultimately, at the end of the day, you got to do that because you got to get your conference games in. But the real losers in that are the kids. A lot of these kids aren't going to compete after high school. And so every one of those competitions means something. And when you're canceling them because of weather, they're losing those opportunities. So it is what it is. It's a fact of life that we all deal with. Like I said, we've been very fortunate that we haven't lost any games. We've been able to find ways to make them up or get creative in some of our scheduling. We've been very creative with busing as well. So we're trying to make it happen for our kids and do what's best for our teams.
Have there been situations like in baseball and softball over the years where sometimes you have to play like a three-team doubleheaders to get games in just so you can go? Have you ever had to do that in your tenure here?
No, haven't had that here on the varsity level. We've been doing a lot with our JV 2 baseball, in particular in JV baseball, where we're playing two five-inning games back-to-back. So they're getting some doubleheaders. And we tried to really avoid that on the varsity level, especially with the high-caliber teams we have that are in the hunt and in the race for conference championships. That we really try to get those full games. But it isn't unheard of to reschedule some things on a Saturday and get a doubleheader. Now, what's different than maybe back in the day, and some people listening to this might remember, you didn't have these conference scheduled doubleheaders on Saturdays. So that provided you an opportunity to say you have something rain out. Hey, let's play a doubleheader. Well, the Badger Conference in baseball, and a little bit to that point in softball, schedules these conference doubleheaders on Saturdays, and that really limits what you can do. So we've been fortunate again not to have to do that, but again, some of the smaller schools in our area, especially those up north, they're really struggling with some of those things.
Talk with Ryan Gerber, activities and athletics director at Beaver Dam High School. Ryan, now Mother Nature mentioned how mean she's been to us, but last Thursday she cooperated, and the first ever lights game at the Beaver Dam High School baseball diamond was able to get off without a hitch. From what I understand, it ended up being a pretty decent night for baseball that night.
Yeah, beautiful night. And we were really watching the weather because it was looking like weather was coming in, and all the reports showed that it should have rained, and it really held off. And I guess, you know, a little divine intervention there to blow all those to the north of us. So we were able to get the game in. It was a beautiful night. Had a really big crowd. Just very happy for the community. This was a community-led fundraise event. The baseball people in our community really pulled together to make this happen. So for them to be able to turn the lights on, I know Jeff Eberle, you know, got a little emotional, you know, because he really was a driving force in this to flip those switches and get the lights on was a big deal. And I was just happy for them. Now going forward, we can focus on baseball. We can focus on the task at hand. But we have that ability now when those games get later to be able to turn those lights on. And you know, this isn't just about high school baseball. We need to remember is this is an asset for the community. Our Legion Baseball now can play into the night and, frankly, host some events that we haven't been able to do. So just very happy for our community to have this this asset in the lights, and looking forward to seeing what we can do with them going forward.
And how about Nate Wilkie's baseball team? They've kind of been Jekyll and Hyde this year. They look really, really good, and they've had some spots where they struggled. They got a nice win on Monday night, I know, down at Jefferson, a team that they always seem to play every year and have a good relationship with. So hopefully they can get her going down the stretch here.
Yeah, they've got so much talent on that baseball team, and it really starts with Eli Bryant. You know, he's had a nice season from the plate. You know, he's tough on the mound. I don't know if he's had maybe the season he's hoped to have to this point, but, you know, this team has so much talent that if they can put it all together, they can get some guys hitting, if they can get some of these guys out of some slumps, this is going to be a tough team. And you look at their record, they're hovering around the 500 mark, and you're saying, geez, what's going on? But they're going to be a very tough out. They're picking up momentum. And I tell you what, to go down to Jefferson on Monday night and beat that program, that's a top-notch program. Coach Featherston has done a great job building that over the years. For us to go down there to get that win, really shows you what this team is capable of doing. And I tell you what, if you got some, if you're going to be a betting man and you got some cash laying around, this is a team you want to put your money on, because they can get it done, and I think they're going to be a real tough out in the postseason.
Yeah, I've gotten to the sectional final the last couple of years and just had a couple things not go their way, otherwise they'd have been at state. So you're right, never count out Nate Wilkie's teams, and expect a strong finish to their season. Softball has been unbelievable. It's climbed to number 6 in the state, which I think is the highest they've been in a long time, and a tough loss to a Division I pitcher in Gwen Baker on Monday night against Milton. But you know Abby Schmidt's squad, Ryan, has been looking pretty good this year.
Yeah, so the softball team came into the season with really high expectations, and any time you can throw Gabby Fakes as your number one and Riley Zarnecki as your two in terms of pitchers, you know you're going to have a really good shot at winning every game, and they have. Coming into Monday's game with Milton, they were undefeated, and like you said, rose to number 6 in the ranking. But you know, they were able to go down and beat Milton earlier in the year. They won that game in extra innings, and now we had Milton come here. And let's face it, Milton's a good team. They won the conference tournament last year. They've been recently at the state tournament, and they're number 7 in the ranking. So this was a big game, and we just weren't able to get the hits where we needed them, and they were. And that's just what happens in softball, just like it happens in baseball. But this is a team that, again, I feel is going to be a tough out. They're in a sectional that they can do very well in. They're going to have Watertown in that as well, who they still have to play a second time this season. So everything's still in front of them. They did lose, but nobody should feel sorry for themselves or down, because this is a team that can still win a conference title. This is a team that can still go on a postseason run, and they've got the talent to do it, and I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, how about the boys' tennis team? I know it seems like, you know, tennis is one of those things you need decent conditions to play in, and they've kind of hit a roadblock here with a lot of weather like everybody else.
Yeah, and they've been doing a really nice job scheduling around some things, mm-hmm. and getting caught up. Coach Damon, very experienced tennis coach, we're very lucky to have him, has done a masterful job, you know, getting those games in and building these kids. This is another program that, you know, when you look at their record, you're seeing a 4-3 win here, a 3-4 loss there. They're tight with pretty much everyone in the conference outside of Wanakee and Monona Grove. They're very high on their doubles, and I think we've talked about that a lot this year. The team of Breaker and Doyle in their number one doubles is a team that they're really, really excited about and hoping that they can make a run of the postseason. Again, that'll be coming up here pretty quick when they start with the subsectional on May 20th. We'll find out quite a bit of what their postseason looks like. They'll actually be playing in their conference tournament next weekend, the 17th and 18th. They'll be down at Nielsen Tennis Stadium on UW's campus. So they've got a lot to play for as well. Again, I know they're very excited about their one doubles, but they've had some real success on their individual side as well. And again, a program on the rise, a program that gets kids out, athletes, multi-sport athletes out. And Coach Damon does a great job developing them every year.
How about the boys' golf team? Obviously, you can play golf in the rain all you want, and it may be miserable, but you can still get it in. Boys' golf this year is continuing to try to improve?
Yeah, I told you at the beginning of the year I was most excited about this program. We brought in Eric Popovich to be our head coach this year, and he really brought a different approach to this team. And last year, I can tell you that this was a program that was happy if all of their kids were in the 90s and triple digits, and now for the most part, most of them are in the 80s and declining. And so, like, the while we're not necessarily making up spots in the conference race, and that's largely because the Badger Conference is so unbelievably stacked, our kids are making improvements. Our strokes are going down. Our overall team score is going down. And that's where you want to see it. And as I talked to Coach Popovich, who has incredibly high standards, as he should, I just told him, look, it's going to take some time. We have to continue to build this and develop these kids. But already we're seeing a huge improvement after from last year, and he has largely the same kids. So really excited about that program. They were just out at Erin Hills playing golf, which, gosh, I can't believe that. That's unbelievable for high school kids to play there and played very well. The one kid that's really emerged this year is JT Call. JT, when I talked to him at the beginning of the year, he said, you know, I just kind of see myself as a JV player and don't expect to be on varsity, and that's okay. And he's really emerged as one of the more consistent varsity players, shooting roughly around 84. So he's a kid that just shows that improvement and that development that Coach Popovich has been looking for. And I'm really excited for that program, not just at how they finish this year, but in the years coming, because the development's been noticeable.
Talking to Ryan Gerber, Director of Athletics and Activities inside BDH Athletics on 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. Coach, girls soccer as well continues to make strides and improvements this year under Coach Paredes.
Yeah, Coach is really doing a nice job keeping those girls up and building them up. Again, another program that's in a tough conference. Badger Conference is really good. You've got some strong programs in DeForest, Wanakee, and Oregon that always are good. You throw an MG in there. They've won the games that they're supposed to, right? So as a coach, you look at it in a couple different levels. Beat the people that you're supposed to, and then start to compete with the people that you're maybe not supposed to and start to beat them. That's how you develop the trend going upwards and trajectory of your program. And so they're beating the teams they're supposed to. They're starting to compete with those that they're maybe not supposed to. And that's largely anchored by Emily Beal in goal. She's very consistent and played very well. The other night she had 55 saves, which, gosh, that's like a stat, not a soccer stat. So they've been getting better. Shea Ashley's been a force on offense. She's really playing well. And so, again, I think that's a program that's just going to need a little bit more develop and get the pipeline going. I know Bill Loss has worked real hard on that. Dave Elgersma has worked real hard on that. As we continue to build that pipeline and the development, you're going to see that because the coaching at the high school level is very good.
You know, the Beaver Dam Trap team as well is off to a 6-2 start this year. They have a young man, Hayden Lund, who just signed a letter of intent to be a collegiate trap shooter at William Penn down in Iowa. So, you know, it's fun, you know, getting the results and seeing how the trap team, one of the best in the region.
Yeah, absolutely. Every time I get the results from Coach Schweitzer, it's another win for the trap team. And that's a program that, they've got some strong seniors that are shooting, but got some young kids coming up that are really pushing things. And another program on the rise. I'm really proud that we have a trap team here. They do things the right way. The first time I met Dusty, you know, we were talking about code of conduct and what my expectations were. And he just kind of laughed and he goes, you know, you're strict, but we've got even stricter expectations for what our kids are. And I really appreciate that. It's holding kids accountable and doing things the right way. And you see that in their performance and you see that how they get better and better each week. They're winning dual meets. They're going competing well at invites. I know they have their sights set on the postseason and in getting to the state and possibly national tournament. And I think they have the ability to do it. And they've got some kids that are really, really strong.
And so it's fun to watch the trap shooting team and seeing their results as well.
And they have a home meet on Monday out of the gun club, which I'm going to be trying to get to. Beautiful place to go watch. So look forward to seeing them.
That should be fun as well. Hey, Ryan, when we talked, the last time we talked, which was a couple weeks ago, the WIAA was going into a vote for the name, image, likeness, which it got defeated. It got voted down, which maybe surprised some people. Just can you kind of talk about that whole vote process? And it's not happening, at least at this point, but just talk about where we're at with that.
Yeah, so a couple Wednesdays ago, the WIA had their annual meeting where every athletic director in the state emerged on Stevens Point. And a number of things came up, as they do every year, that we vote on constitutional changes. The big one, obviously, was NIL, and it got the most publicity. There's a lot of procrastinators that were out there on Twitter and Instagram saying, oh, this is going to pass. This is what it is. what a lot of people didn't realize were what was in that amendment and all the things that went to it. It did fail. And I I'm not going to give you my personal opinions on it, but it did fail. I think there are a lot of questions that a lot of people had about what it was, what were some of the restrictions. And it became very convoluted in terms of who was allowed to do what. I get from the perspective that other states are doing this. As I would say, Wisconsin needs to focus on what is best for kids here in Wisconsin. Just because every state around us or 31 states have it doesn't necessarily mean this is a good thing. And frankly, I think as we go through this NIL process at the college level and the high school level, I think people's opinions of what it was supposed to be versus what it really is have changed. You might be able to infer one way or the other for myself, but again, I look at the facts and how this is going to impact our kids, what this looks like, how enforceable is it, and there were some real question marks on it. So it did fail. It failed pretty significantly. I would expect that it would be back up for a vote next year. And I guess from the WI's perspective, if they're going to bring it back to administrators, they're going to have to define some things and answer some questions that they weren't prepared to or weren't able to do.
So do you think that'll be revisited sometime in the next couple of years, if not sooner?
They guaranteed that it'll be back. I would expect it to be back next year.
Okay.
And here's the thing I will say in their defense. The first thing they'll tell you about NIL at the high school level is it's not college NIL. So don't expect collectives to come to the high school level. I wouldn't expect any kid to be driving around in a Mercedes. It's not going to come with a transfer portal. It would be set up for high school. That being said, there were some serious questions, especially as it related to the compliance office, which would be our athletics department here in town, and how we're able to function, what we're able to handle. And those were questions that they weren't able to do. The state of Wisconsin, or WIA's proposal, was really modeled after Georgia and a couple other states. So here's the other piece of this, if you really wanted to dive in. Not every state has the same NIL policy. There is not a federal blanket policy on this. So every state develops their own. So you could say, okay, I live in Illinois, I have NIL, I moved to Michigan. Well, it could be completely different, and the restrictions could be completely different. So that's another issue when you look globally as to moving from place to place or if you're traveling around the country.
Yeah, so it's a case where some states probably, like, if I'm a student athlete, my dad owns a grocery store, my mom owns a hair salon or a grocery store, or maybe, you know what I'm saying? A kid could maybe do an ad, you know, hey, shop at mom's hair salon or, you know, dad's car dealership, and they could maybe do something that way without physically being endorsed by the school, but they could just do that, right?
Yeah, without getting into specifics of what the WIA had, I would say the WIA policy was rather restrictive in terms of who could provide NIL and who could not. Mm-hmm. However, doing the background checking on it to know whether somebody was able to do it was pretty extensive. And of course, to not be in compliance with it, right, to not enforce it properly, gets you into a whole ball of wax. The last thing we want is for any of our student athletes to lose their eligibility because of something an adult did, right? So, like I said, there are a lot of questions that a lot of administrators had at that meeting that simply weren't answered. And I think that the WIA is going to take that feedback and come back to the table with a different proposal next year. I don't know if that'll change people's minds. I can't forecast that out. All I know is if we're going to go down this road, we need some clear definitions of the who, the what, the where, the why, the how.
All right. Ryan, I had somebody ask me a question at one of the games in the last couple of weeks. I kept forgetting to ask you. Actually, we haven't talked. Somebody asked me, is the shot clock ever going to come back for high school basketball in Wisconsin?
So the shot clock, there are a couple avenues. You know, that can go through the coach's advisory, just like any rule that gets passed. It also could come through the NFHS. Here's the deal with the shot clock. We have them installed here, but we don't use them because it's not something we do here in Wisconsin. I think what you're going to find is a number of schools are going to put up a fight on it simply because of the infrastructure piece. you know, buying the clocks, getting them installed, doing that. But then you also need to have somebody else working that event to run just a shot clock. And some people might be dismissive of that and say, oh, gosh, how hard is that? Well, I'm going to tell you, as the person who has to schedule workers, it's very hard. Mm-hmm. We struggle just to fill the spots that we do now. So anybody that's out there saying, well, geez, that's not a big deal, I encourage you to give us a call and sign up and do a background check to be an event worker. Because, frankly, you know, when I was in high school back in the day, people were lining up to work events. Now we're really struggling, and this isn't just a Beaver Dam thing. This is happening everywhere. People are not coming out to work events like they used to. So to add additional workers is tough. And that's me speaking as a Division I school. Now apply that to a Division III school. Apply that to a school with a couple hundred kids in it. You know, again, there's some difficulties in there to make it happen. Look, here's what we have to remember. I think we forget this at the high school level. This is high school sports. This is not college. This is not the pros. And there are clear distinctions. Why are we so worried about being like the colleges or like the pros? We don't need that. It's okay to be high school. It's okay for there to be levels in sport. There's nothing wrong with that. And I think sometimes we're so eager to have our kids grow up and be something they're not, or we're chasing a scholarship, or we're chasing this or that. I think we need to get back to the joy of what sport is. This is high school sports. These kids are supposed to love this. Most of them are going to finish their competitive careers right here in the high school. Let these kids have fun. And I think the kids want that. It's the adults sometimes that forget that. We need to remember that.
Ryan, well said right there. Again, it's also not easy to run a shot clock. I'll just say, did it hit the rim? Did it not hit the rim? You know, things like that. It ends up sometimes causing more issues than what we can have. Hey, obviously, athletics-wise, you know, it's going to be a fun time here down the stretch. But also on the activity side, they're heading down the home stretch as well with, what, less than 3 weeks left of the school year here, or just over 3 weeks left in the school year. There's some concerts going on and some opportunities for people to see the talented people on the music side as well.
Yeah, I had an opportunity last week. It was actually the same night as the baseball lights event, to come into the auditorium and watch the marching band concert, which is the final concert of the year for the band. And that was phenomenal. I feel very spoiled because I oversee the music department. So I get to go in and do evaluations in there. And when they're practicing for the Christmas concert or their marching band, I get to experience that. So to see it all come together, what an awesome event. Loved it. And again, would throw out a recommendation. If you go to one event, we want you to go to every one of the events, but if you only go to one, that marching band concert's a phenomenal event, a really special night. I was really proud of them. But like you said, we've got a couple more concerts coming up, specifically on the vocal side. So there's a choir concert Thursday, May 9th. That starts at 7:30. Mark Lefebvre's group, again, tremendous. They just came back off a state solo ensemble where they had a ton of kids getting high recognition there. We'll have to talk about that maybe next time, but tons and tons of great recognition for our kids performing well at the state solo ensemble. And then on May 10th, Friday, the next night, they have an a cappella concert. And I think he has four different a cappella groups between Good Old A Cappella, Treble Threat, and Bro Ray Me. They do a tremendous job. I'm, again, very lucky to be able to sit in and observe those classes frequently throughout the year. So know that they're doing a great job. It's another way for that program to put their stamp on the season. And then of course, they'll have the Memorial Day concert as well.
So there's lots of stuff going on. You know, people check the activities calendar on the Beaver Dam Unified School District's website. You can always find out times and dates because there's so many different things going on. You know, we're even getting into awards season pretty soon, where we're going to talk about that in the next couple of weeks, Ryan. But, hey, if anybody has any questions about anything as we head down the final, 3.5 weeks of the school year, what's the best way to find those answers?
As always, you can give us a call here and talk to myself or Mr. Keach, or if you'd rather, you can go on to www.badgerconference.org, and on the right-hand side where it says Beaver Dam, click that for all of our schedules.
All right, Ryan Gerber, I appreciate the time, and that's this week's edition of Inside Beaver Dam High School Athletics and Activities on 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Wade.